Talking Fugitive, an SAV production, starring Kitty and Bobby as the host, freed by fate to pursue an in-depth discussion of television's finest dramatic series ever,
A Fugitive.
Gonna have to update that a little bit there. Ken got left out of the opening credits. Hi everybody, Talking Fugitive with the three faces of Richard Kimball. That would be Bobby and Kitty and Ken. And tonight they're going to be discussing the three faces of Richard Kimball. Hopefully it'll be something other than the three I just named. If you want to participate in the discussion, it's 800-407-KSAV or during the program talk at ksav.org. All right, business as usual. Let's start things off with Bobby Neer.
Thank you, Dave. Tomorrow is August the 1st, 2007. And as we've mentioned in the past several weeks, this August brings us to the 40th anniversary of the end of The Fugitive, that finale that made television history by actually ending a long-running series. And it was an exciting time. I was there when it was on, and many people were, and it was a great summer anticipating what was going to happen. David Janssen, of course, had announced he wasn't going to do the show anymore, so it was time to end it. Certainly, they weren't going to get any other actor to be in that part. He had made it his own so thoroughly that would be unthinkable to replace him. So the series ends, and it's a great moment in TV history. Everybody's looking forward to it. Turns out rather well. There's only one problem with it. The dark side of that is that after you get past that two-part finale, something strange happens. The series is over. And if you've been watching it for 120 episodes, 120 hours out of your life over 4 years, you have to wonder, what is it exactly you're going to do on Tuesday nights now that the show isn't on anymore? And the further, even more dark than that, is the fact that not only does it end, it really ends. I mean, let's face it, in TV, nothing ever really ends. TV series come back and they go into syndication. They're seen forever. I read not long ago that I Love Lucy, somewhere in the world, I Love Lucy is being seen every day of the week, more than 50 years after it first came on the air. I mean, Lucy and Ricky are still married, and it's still the 50s. But in The Fugitive, because the series actually ends, because the one-armed man actually dies, there is no chance that this series is ever coming back again. And it's we're a little bit before things like DVDs and VCRs, so nobody's going to have a copy of it. It's simply going to disappear. It's going to be a footnote in TV history, and that's the end of it. It's impossible for it to come back, except it's not impossible for it to come back because this is Hollywood, and in Hollywood, as long as there's a chance to squeeze one more dollar out of a TV series or a movie by bringing it back, they'll bring it back, even if they have to take dead characters and bring them back all over again. And in 1993, the series comes back as a feature film. Well, how can they do that? I mean, so Warner Man is dead, the whole thing has been settled, Kimball walked away a free man. Well, you do it by simply starting all over again. I remember reading about it in the paper back then that there was going to be a feature film, and I simply was amazed. I thought, how do you do this? But tonight, what we're going to discuss is the fact that three different actors portray Richard Kimball over a period of years, and each one brings his own special way to this character, changes it just a little bit. We're not going to talk about the series and two series in the movie tonight. We're going to do special shows on that next year. We're going to just talk about the main star of the films in the series, and that's whoever plays Richard Kimball. You're going to bring the series back. You have to face that right away. Who is going to be Richard Kimball? It's 1993. David Janssen actually died more than a decade earlier at a very young age, unfortunately, and so he can't come back, and besides, he wouldn't have if he was alive. He made that very clear. Plus, he would have been in his 60s, so he wasn't about to come back in the series. They had to find somebody to play Richard Kimball. Lots of actors around, but this is a feature film. That's a little bit different than TV. You got to have a marquee name. You got to have somebody to put on there that people look at and go, oh, he's in it? I'm going to go see that. I don't even know anything about The Fugitive. Maybe I wasn't even born back then. But I like this guy, and I'm going to see him. And that's exactly what they did when they picked Harrison Ford to portray Richard Kimball. Now, as far as I'm concerned, I thought about that for a minute and thought, Harrison Ford is really an action hero. I mean, he made it big in 1977 when he was in Star Wars. In 1981, he became Indiana Jones. He was also the President of the United States in Air Force One. In all of these movies, he was a tough guy, hardly kind of introspective and quiet like Richard Kimmel always was. So how in the world do you take Harrison Ford and put him in the part of Richard Kimmel without really changing the series? Kitty, what do you think about this? Is this really going to fit, or are they just putting a round peg in a square hole?
Well, I don't know that they really put a round peg in a square hole, but they obviously changed it significantly because the movie ended up being a regular action-adventure whodunit. And so that was a perfect casting of Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford certainly brought a lot of intensity to it. He didn't have any qualms about kicking anyone's rear end, you know, when they got him mad. Which shows that, you know, he was quite brazen at the end when he marched into that one place. But you know, I don't know. To me, he really didn't seem that much of a Richard Kimball. And it's not really his fault because, you know, a lot of it's the script. It was written for an action adventure kind of movie, a whodunit. And on that, you know, and from that perspective, Harrison Ford delivers. And the one thing that I thought was very poignant about the movie is that you actually see Harrison Ford with his late wife, played by Celia Ward. And, you know, you actually see them in a happy marriage, you know, which was something we were always deprived of. I thought those scenes were very touching and very poignant. And I think from that perspective, you know, I think you feel a little more. But again, it's only a two-hour movie, and it's hard to really feel The Fugitive in a two-hour movie when the concept was originally written as an ongoing series.
But Kitty, the difference between Harrison Ford and David Janssen is really striking. I mean, their acting styles are not even close to being the same. Janssen did it all with body language and facial expressions and those eyes, and he was always looking down at the ground, trying to be inconspicuous. Harrison Ford is hardly that way.
I would agree. I mean, he's definitely more, you know, more of a very outgoing Richard Kimball. You know, when David Janssen plays Richard Kimball, I think that, you know, I kind of see Richard Kimball before any of this murder thing ever happened to him. I kind of see him as kind of a quiet and unassuming guy, maybe a little shy. But the way Harrison Ford plays him, Richard Kimball's actually a very outgoing kind of guy. In fact, you even see him at this big social function at the beginning of the movie, you know, and he's just moving with ease through everything.
But can you possibly see David Janssen outrunning a runaway train or jumping off a dam?
I don't know. I mean, we saw him running through the woods after the train wreck. The one thing, we never really see that much of the train wreck in the movie or in the TV show. So, you know, who knows? Maybe it's supposed to be implied that he did do that. You know, I don't know.
Ken, what do you think?
I think David Janssen, you know, character of Richard Kimball, is one of the most outstanding performances, really, in TV history. I mean, he really nailed it. You know, he's a guy in his mid-30s. He's a doctor. And you're right, all his expressions throughout the series, you know, he's quiet, and yet sometimes he's mean. He's outspoken. He's compassionate. He's got all the characteristics. And so for the TV series, we were spoiled. David Janssen, no one else could have pulled that off for the 4 years, really. And when the movie came and they cast Harrison Ford, I was excited. Was it 1993?
Mm-hmm.
So Harrison Ford was 51.
That's right.
So as far as the age, they may have messed up there.
Yeah, he's 16 years older than David Janssen was when he started.
What was he, 32?
32, 33, somewhere in there. So.
Yeah, and then when he finished, he was 36.
Yeah, that was a big difference.
So you're right, 15-year difference. But when they cast Harrison Ford and I saw the movie, you know, he's a doctor.
Right.
So, you know, in the beginning of the movie, you know, he has that scene, Harrison Ford has that scene where he's called into the hospital to do a surgery.
Right.
And you know what? He convinced me. He looked like a doctor. And then, you know, he has the beard and then later shaves it off. And then he was on the run. You know, the way they did the movie, yeah, we'll talk about the movie later. But as far as how Harrison Ford played the character of Richard Kimball, it was all right with me. I mean, I was trying to think, who else could they have gotten, a guy in their 30s?
Do you have anybody in mind?
For the TV series, I have someone in mind.
Well, we'll do that in a second. I'm not a big Harrison Ford fan. I never have been.
Yeah.
For me, his best performance was in Witness, one of my all-time favorite movies. And he's very low-key in that because he's staying with an Amish family, so he's got to be. But, so the whole action hero thing never really particularly appealed to me. But I think the problem for me is that if you're going to put Harrison Ford in The Fugitive, it requires you to change the dynamics of the series. That's what really troubles me. I mean, you can put any actor in anything, but when you put somebody in there who's completely different than the original actor, then you have to change things. Now, I don't know anything about this. I don't know how they did it. So I've always questioned whether or not they picked Harrison Ford to fit the movie or they picked the movie to fit Harrison Ford. In other words, which came first? Did they say, well, let's pick Harrison Ford because, you know, he's been voted many times as most favorite actor in the country. So they wanted a marquee name, and they said, well, of course, we're going to get Harrison Ford. It's going to draw everybody in. Or did they have a movie and say, today's audiences aren't going to sit in a feature film for this kind of dark, brooding story with a wrongfully convicted guy trying to hide around corners and hiding in shadows and looking the other way. Nobody will sit through that, and they may well have been right. So they put Harrison Ford in there, and they had to change everything to blend it all together. Now, look, it's hard to argue with success. The movie was a spectacular success and made gazillions of dollars and is a favorite on cable TV today. They go on forever. So you can't really complain about that. And I have to say, in fairness to Harrison Ford, this is a tough role to take on, like you just said. I mean, David Janssen he didn't play the fugitive, he became the fugitive.
Right.
So he gets the opportunity, and that gives you a big jump on everybody else. You get the opportunity to set the standard. You get the opportunity, we don't know who Richard Kimball is, so we accept whatever however he does it. He did it, whether it was the directors or the writing or him, I know that Ed Robertson writes in his book that he had a lot of impact in the series. He had a lot of suggestions on how Kimball should act. So he made that part. Once you see that, it's very hard to change that. Think of other characters. Is there anybody in the world you would ever accept playing Michael Corleone other than Al Pacino? Be serious. I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, you would say, give me a break. You know, they made three Godfather movies, and he was in all of them. Because if he's not going to do the part, there is no movie.
All right. Speaking of breaks, let's take one. I'm glad you brought that up. We'll come back. We'll talk about the other face and a half of David Kimball on part two, Talking Fugitive, here on Sherevision Radio.
Now, another satisfied customer of Arkansas Casual Life.
I'll never forget that day. My agent called and he said I should think about getting my personal affairs in order, that I was just needlessly exposing myself. And you know something? He was right. He thought I should get Arkansas Casual Life's broad coverage policy. Now, I'm glad I did.
At Arkansas Casual Life, we won't hold your past history against you, or your future for that matter.
And you know, most companies, they would drop you after a couple of claims. but not Arkansas Casual Life. Now I can go to bed and I don't have to worry anymore, because they've given me peace of mind. Thank you, Arkansas Casual Life.
Arkansas Casual Life. We're expecting the unexpected.
You never know. You're gonna find it. You gotta run, 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 run.
All right, we're back talking fugitive. We're talking about the faces of David Kimball. Was that what I said?
I'm afraid so.
I hate it when, and this program's going to be on the archives, so I can't even deny it. All right, we'll pick up here where we left off. Bobby, you go right ahead.
Okay. Poor Richard Kimball, forced to run across the country just to stay alive, forced to meet a dazzling array of beautiful women he can never stay with for any length of time. Of course, as we know, Kimball pays very little attention to any of them, even though they are more than willing to throw themselves at his feet, until that is season two, when he finds himself on a seaside amusement pier looking for a job and finding an opening in a souvenir shop on the boardwalk. And who owns the shop? Ah, yes, she's blonde, she's built, she's sexy, she's more than ready, willing, and able to lend some meaning to Kimball's life. Unfortunately, she's also conspiring to kill her brother and steal his money and pin the rap on Kimball. Well, nobody's perfect, and nobody can play this part better than 60s blonde bombshell and sex goddess Angie Dickinson, a woman definitely on Ken's wall of fame. Brass Ring, 2 weeks from tonight on Talking Fugitive. Well, the movie, the Fugitive movie, is a huge success. Boy, does it ever make money. And I have to say this about the movie: back when it came out in 93, I was watching the syndicated show with Roger Ebert and the late Gene Siskel, who was his partner back then, and they had reviewed the movie and said not only was it a great film, but that it would last for years, that it would come back again and again and again and be one of the most memorable movies. And they were right, because today it's a rare event on cable TV that a month goes by that that movie is not on. I've seen it so many times, I've got it completely memorized. But the same thing applies to 1993 that applied before, when the series ended. The story has ended again. Kimball goes free again. How many people do that twice? Same old story, the one-armed man. They, you know, the whole thing is taken care of, and he goes free at the end. Okay, we've done this story now twice without really changing a whole lot. So how many more times can you do it? It looks like that is definitely, positively the end of the story, except it's not the end of the story. Because the same producer who brought the show to the big screen comes back and puts it back on TV in the year 2000. ABC decides to pass this time, probably figuring they had gotten lucky the first time, so it goes to CBS instead. And once again, they're faced with finding somebody to play Richard Kimball. Well, it's not going to be Harrison Ford, because he's a movie star. He doesn't do TV series, and he's not about to. So that's out of the question. Plus, he's 7 years older, and he was already 51 when he was in the movie. So that's out of the question. Got to find somebody to bring it back to. As surprised as I was to hear that they were bringing this fugitive to the big screen, I was completely surprised when I heard that they were going to bring it back to TV. And who did they get to bring it back to TV? Tim Daly. Tim Daly, not exactly a marquee name, not exactly all that well known, certainly not a Harrison Ford type. Tim Daly, the guy who's best known for being in a long-running sitcom in the 90s called Wings. Tim Daly's also made of several movies on his own, several feature films, usually light romantic comedies. He's also made a lot of TV movies and more serious topics. I always liked Tim Daly. He's a good actor and does have some connection back to The Fugitive, because his father, James Daly, a famous actor in his own right, was in two episodes of the original series, and Tim Daly, when he was promoting the 2000 version, told the story many times that he was, as a young boy, on the set watching his father act in The Fugitive, so he knew something about it. Still, though, it seems unlikely. It's as unlikely as it might have seemed to have Harrison Ford, an action hero, portray the very quiet, subdued Richard Kimball. Now you got a guy best known for a sitcom playing it. And it's just, I don't know. My attitude about it was, show me. Show me you can do this. Show me you can do it for the third time. And show me that you can convince me that a third person can play Richard Kimball. So we've got Tim Daly. Ken, what do you think about Tim Daly's portrayal?
Oh, I was hoping you'd ask Kitty first.
Nope, you were just on.
My feelings are mixed. David Jansen was a tall guy, right? I was used to a tall Richard Kimball. Now, Tim Daly, I don't know how tall he is.
I'm not sure he's not sure that I know of.
I think he's taller than David Jansen.
I think so, too.
Is he?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know about
Absolutely. He's over 6 feet.
Well, anyway, I'm going to say my feelings are mixed. I liked the show when it was on. Too bad it got canceled. I thought CBS made a mistake. They were not the right network.
That's
probably
right.
Should have been ABC again or Fox. But CBS, they didn't handle it right. But we can get into that later. As far as casting Tim Daly, he had that look. He was he had different feelings. He was kind, and yet he would get mean. So you need that to be a Richard Kimball. As far as being a doctor, I don't know if he's a doctor character. You know, David Jansen, he's a doctor. Harrison Ford, he played the doctor okay. Tim Daly, I don't know. What I was thinking, Dylan McDermott from The Practice. You remember The Practice?
Yeah.
Remember Bobby, I guess, was his name, the head guy, Dylan McDermott.
Oh, I know the actor, yeah.
Yeah, he may have pulled it off. And I was thinking, all right, if I was going to cast someone, who would it be? And you know what? I couldn't come up with any names in the year 2000.
Right.
Who could have done it? So I accepted Tim Daly. I like some of the episodes, especially Jenny. That was my favorite episode. Remember, it was a two-part episode on Jenny.
Right.
And that was a really touching one. They needed someone who was agile. Didn't he fly through the air a couple of times off the truck?
In the pilot episode only.
Yeah. And,
well, then
he left
the bridge.
There was another one. I think he was up on the top of a sky or
that
building.
That was the pilot. That was the pilot.
Yeah, he was up on a tower and he had...
Yeah, he jumped off the building, yeah.
But, Tim Daly, you know, I could live with it. How about you, Kitty?
Well, I thought Tim Daly was great in the part. I mean, you know, I think Tim Daly is what made the show good. Yeah, I mean, there were other problems with that show, but I thought Tim Daly was you know, the shining aspect of that show. Because, you know, as I've said, one of my main criticisms of the David Jansen version is just that you never see David Jansen feeling all that bad that his wife is dead. You know, whereas in the one with Tim Daly convinced me in practically every episode that he was grieving his wife. I mean, it just, you know, it didn't matter what he was doing. It's like he always had this way of letting you know that, you know, he was deeply, deeply upset that his wife had been murdered so violently. You know, and as for him being a doctor, I'd buy him being a doctor over Richard Kimball any day of the week. Over David Jansen. I mean, how many times have we seen David Jansen's Richard Kimball just stand there and watch somebody die and do absolutely nothing? Tim Daly never sat around and watched somebody die. He always tried to at least, you know, make an attempt at resuscitation. I don't see that you can. I think there's no comparison. You know, Tim Daly convinced me much more that he was a doctor than David Jansen. You know, if I was lying in an emergency room, David Jansen's Richard Kimball is not the Richard Kimball I'd want leaning over me if I was near death. You know, I'd take Harrison Ford or Tim Daly any day of the week.
How old was Tim Daly when he started?
Well, right,
I think
he
was only
50.
About 44 when he got cast.
Yeah, he turned 50 like last year, I believe. So
yeah.
He was about, you know, he was in his early 40s.
Yeah, so he was at about, I think, the right age of where, you know, a doctor would be established, like the way Harrison Ford's Dr. Kimball was established.
Well, I think he pulled it all very well, and I'll tell you why I think he did it. You know, he comes from a successful sitcom. Now, that's a, talk about tough. That's really a tough thing to do. I mean, Harrison Ford was already an action hero. They wrote a script making him an action hero. See, it was not a stretch for Harrison Ford to do that. You would expect that. But Tim Daly comes from a comedy series, but Wings was an ensemble series. It wasn't like he was the focus of it. Sure, he was one of the main characters, but he wasn't in every scene, and there were a lot of people around him. So you don't, when you think about series, you know anything about series, never saw it, you don't think immediately about comedy as soon as his name comes up, and I think that's why he could do it. I think that he brought something different to the series. He brought edge to the series, which is something I'm always looking for. It was a very edgy portrayal in that, unlike David Janssen's Kimball, he was angry. He was often angry at what had happened. And that really impressed me. That was one of the things missing in the original series. Never got the feeling that Kimball was just really angry about what had happened. And, Kitty, you and I have talked about this before. I don't remember the name of the episode, the one where he's hiding in the church. And he talks to the priest and tells him about how his wife had died.
Sanctuary.
Right, and that's it. And the priest tells him about, well, you know, it's God's will, this, that, and the other. And Kimball gets angry and he says, did she have to suffer? I mean, that's not the same. David Janssen never said that in the entire series. It's like he didn't even care whether she suffered or not.
Yeah, so, but Bob, the main question is Roy Huggins' vision. What is the character of Richard Kimball supposed to be like? Is he supposed to be a mean guy? Is he supposed to be a gentle, compassionate white knight guy?
It doesn't matter to me. Just don't do it all the time. He was too good in that original series. Never did anything. You saw the Tim Daly version all the way to the end, did you?
Yeah, I saw every episode.
Okay, then you know that at the end of it, at the end of that first season, Tim Daly's Kimball goes off the tracks and goes after the one-armed man and beats him up. I mean,
and then he injects
David Janssen
with a drug.
Yeah, so did David Janssen at the end of the first series, but it was the very end, and all of us who were watching it expected him to pummel the one-armed man, and he did. He gave us what we were looking for. But in the second series, I mean, had it gone on past the season, here he goes. He gives him a supposedly lethal injection. He's about to drag him back to Girard. This is a really tough-minded Richard Kimball, resentful, and he's out to get him.
But a tough Richard Kimball would never have a four-year series. It would be over in 1 or 2 years,
really?
According to Tim Daly. Yeah, if he's a real mean, tough guy.
Well, I never saw him as a mean, tough guy.
No, neither did I.
He only got mean when somebody pissed him off, you know, and I think he was certainly warranted to get pissed off at times.
That's right.
Okay, one minute.
Well, that's the kind of edge I'm always looking for in a series. I think that, you know, just to wrap this up real quickly, I think that, look, I'm not going to say anything bad about any of the actors, and I'm not going to pick one over another. I don't think that's possible, because they all brought something different to this series. They're all great actors, and they all did honorable work on it, and each one changed it. And it might, I don't know, that might say more about the series and the concept than it does about the actors. That Richard Kimball is a very complex character, and you can actually change him from his first incarnation, where he's very quiet and subdued, to an action hero, and then turn him around later on and make him a little edgy and a little tough-minded and always have it work. So I don't think you can really pick one over another. The really remarkable thing is that this whole concept has, as they call it in the industry, legs. It has lasted this long. And now on the eve of the 40th anniversary, it's almost a remarkable story to imagine that it's come back so many times.
You think it'll come back again in another version?
I don't know. You know what? I'm not so stupid as I'm going to say no, because I once said that. I said in 67, this will never come back again. So,
all right, well,
maybe.
I think that it may return with the return David Kimball. How about Richard Janssen?
Okay.
Well, you guys are going to return in 2 weeks on August 14th. You'll be discussing an episode called The Brass Ring.
Right.
And in the future, you're also going to talk about the three Girards and the three one-armed men et cetera, huh?
And the three Helens.
All right.
And the two Donnas. There's only two Donnas.
All right. The rest of you stick around in the 1 hour talk and television with Dave White, the one and only, will be on tonight. We'll see you all in 2 weeks talking Fugitive once again here on Retro Radio.
Yeah. You know, a man can't help but feel bad when he's always on the run. Man can't good man when he's always on the run. You know it makes it feel so bad when it ain't a thing he have done.